God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, God, not mine, be done. God, help us to set aside everything we think we know about the big book, about the step being studied tonight, about ourselves, about our recovery. And God, help us especially to set aside everything we think we know about you so that we can have a new experience and be teachable. Amen. And I didn't introduce myself. Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie, and I am a recovered alcoholic, an abstinent food addict, and a lovingly detached Al-Anon. And that is by the sheer grace of the God of my understanding. And I have done these steps as they're laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor, a loving God, and a very supportive group. And that is the mantra that you say in Big Book Step Study. I am living in steps 10, 11, and 12. I have completed all my amends. In Big Book Step Study, you tell where you are in the steps. And you are reading and writing on step one. And that's how you would identify yourself. Okay. Turn to page 11. Way, way, way down on page 11. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Bill is saying, never mind the past with his grandfather. Because his grandfather was very cynical about religion and God. And Bill really looked up to his grandfather because his father was out of the picture. His mother and father were divorced. And Bill really didn't have a father. So his grandfather, he really looked up to. And so his grandfather was prejudiced against God and religion. And so, you know, Bill was really swayed by that. But here was his childhood friend, Ebby. And Ebby was telling him, hey, look, Bill, I'm a miracle. And Bill was really down and out. And so Bill is saying, wow. And you got to give Bill a lot of credit. You know, he was able to admit that he really basically had a psychic change. A psychic change means you go from saying, I don't believe, to I believe. That's a psychic change. You know, I've talked to you people a lot about a psychic change. A psychic change is I won't go to AA. There is no way I'm going to AA. Two, okay, I'm going to AA. That's a psychic change. Two, you're in AA. I will not get a sponsor. There is no way. I'll go to AA and I'm going to sit up the back, but I will not get a sponsor. You know what a psychic change is? I'll get a sponsor. I realize I need a sponsor. That's a psychic change. Same thing about, okay, I got a sponsor, but the sponsor tells me I have to go on commitments. No way, not going on commitments. You go on a commitment. That's a psychic change. All of these, when you have this, you know, this drastic change of mind, you go from no, never, to okay, I will. That's a psychic change. And Bill went, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised then, at night. That's a psychic change. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. And he's talking about Ebby, his childhood friend. You know, you got to give Bill a lot of credit. You know, he didn't poo-hoo Ebby and call him a, you know, back a couple of paragraphs, he was calling him a crackpot. But, you know, Bill was saying the proof was in the pudding. And here was a miracle. You know, And of course, Bill is writing this, you know, 3 years later, so he does have a little perspective. But I give Bill a lot of credit. Okay. He, now the he is Ebby. Ebby shouted great tidings. So Ebby was sitting across the table, and he was really, when Bill says shouting great tidings, Ebby was very grateful. He was grateful and he was thankful for his sobriety. And he was thanking the Oxford group and he was thanking God for what he had. And that's how we are. That's how I am. I am so grateful. When I talk at the podium, I always end up crying when I get up and talk about my story. Because I was sick, suffering, and sorrowful. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. And today my life is full. Today my life is beyond my wildest dreams. How can I tell my story from the garbage pail? I'm a garbage pail eater. I'm an alcoholic. Nobody, even my parents, weren't really happy to see me. To where I am today, how can I tell my story without having tears of gratitude? And this is what Ebby was like. And I hope to God that that's how you are when you tell your story, that you are saying it with great, you're shouting it with great tidings, that you are full of gratitude, full of thankfulness. And, you know, somebody last week on this phone bridge asked me, you know, how do you get gratitude? Well, you get gratitude by action, by you going out on commitments, by putting your hand out to the newcomer, by taking service positions in your group. Be secretary. You know, be coffee maker. Be the greeter. You know, get be the bookie. You know, go come early and set up chairs. Stay late and put the chairs away. You know, there's always something you can do. That's how you get grateful. That's how you get gratitude from your head to your heart. And Ebby was grateful. And he was so grateful that he went out of his way to find Bill Wilson. And because of that gratitude, you and I have 12-step fellowships to go to. We owe a debt, not just to Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, who are credited as the co-founders, but Ebby really started the ball rolling when you think about it, because he went out of his way to find Bill Wilson and give him the message, give him the good news. Okay, last sentence on page 11. I saw that my friend Ebby was much more inwardly, psychic change, to page 12, reorganized. Okay, that's the psychic change, the change of thinking from, no, I'll never do that, to, yes, I will do it, to, I want to do it. See, those are the three stages. Nope, I won't do it. So write this down, the three stages of a psychic change. Nope, I won't do it. To, okay, I'll do it. To, I want to do it. That is a psychic change. He, Ebby, was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. His soul grasped God. That's what Bill is saying. His roots, his being, his soul, his heart, who he was, his body, mind, and soul grasped new soil. It grasped onto a God of his understanding. That's why he had such gratitude and thankfulness. He was brought from the trash heap to a man who, and I've seen pictures, suit jacket and a tie, pretty darn dapper. Okay, next paragraph. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges. That's your first word for tonight to look up. Vestiges. Vestiges of my old prejudice. Look up prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. Look up antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me. Okay, now put a circle around that. A God personal to me. And then bring a line out into the margin. Put a star and put the answer to my problems. The answer to all your problems is a personal relationship with God. That's who you bring your personal problems to, is God. Because God's the one who has all the power to solve your problems. You don't have the power. What's the first step? We admitted we were powerless over, for me, alcohol, food, people. But I can put in anything. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I have no power, but God has all power. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. The half measures is thinking that you can get away with steps 1, 2, and 3, and maybe 12. No way. Okay, but this is the answer. So the word God still aroused a certain antipathy when the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me. This feeling was intensified. What feeling? Antipathy, which is being afraid, being on guard, being a prejudice. You'll look it up, the word. But it's antipathy is a lot of emotions, like, I don't really know about this. You know, really kind of unsure. I didn't like the idea. He didn't like it because he was afraid. He was afraid of the idea of a personal relationship with God because he was afraid to give up his ego. He was afraid of giving up being in charge. You know, when you have a personal relationship with God, God's in charge. You got to surrender to God. But we know in recovery that, and write this down, you got to surrender to win. In 12-step recovery fellowships, you must surrender to win. Okay, that's your first writing assignment. So write that down. In 12-step recovery fellowships, we must surrender to win. What does this mean to you, and what has been your experience doing this. Or not doing this. And when I mean not doing this, not surrendering. Okay, because that's step one. Surrender to win is step one. Okay. You got to surrender to God. You got to surrender to the fellowships. That's what I'm talking about. And step, so I'll right now explain it a little bit more, what I want you to write on. So just listen carefully. You can take notes, but I'm not going to put it on the website. In 12-step recovery fellowships, we must surrender to win. What does this mean to you? And what has been your experience surrendering? And what has been your experience not surrendering? So you got to surrender to first the fellowship. When you come in, you got to surrender. Because they're going to tell you, sit down, be quiet, and listen. Get a sponsor. Work the tools. Go in commitments. Get service positions. Work the steps. You got to surrender to all of that. Then they're going to start telling you that the 12 steps are a spiritual program. You got to find a God of your understanding. And of course, when you do the steps, you're going to encounter that in step two. You got to surrender to all of that. All of that. So that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Bill cuts through all of that, and he's just now talking about the God part. Because Bill didn't have a fellowship. Bill didn't have a fellowship. So when Bill didn't have a place to walk in like you had. When you had hit a bottom with cluttering or debting or alcohol or cocaine or food, whatever our addiction is, you know, Al-Anon, alcoholic, a drug addict, whatever, you know, codependency. When you hit a bottom, you had a fellowship. You had to walk through a door. Hopefully there was a greeter there. And you had people that had a program of action. They had a program of action. And in doing the program of action, hopefully you had a spiritual experience and found God. Bill Wilson didn't have any of that. Bill Wilson was a drunk. And he was offered one thing and one thing only. What our 12-step recovery fellowships eventually get around to giving us, he was offered immediately, take it or leave it, Bill. And that was a relationship with God, good orderly direction, higher power, creative intelligence, spirit of the universe. And that's why the big book, when you go to the fellowships, even AA today, you're not seeing the big book. Because the big book is all about having a personal, intimate relationship with God. The fellowships today are all about sit down, be quiet, listen, get a sponsor, go to AWOLs, go on commitments, work the tools, and stay around for 10, 15 years, and then work on the spiritual. And the big book is, you know, you might get it, you might not get it. I got it my first meeting, and I didn't open it until 20 years later when I got a Big Book Step Study sponsor. I never opened the book and read it, you know. I wasn't hanging around with people who were doing the steps as they're laid out in the big book. You know, I wasn't hanging around with people who had a personal, intimate relationship with God. They were going to AWOLs. They were going on commitments. You know, they were, you know, and all of those things are good. Don't get me wrong. I do all of those things today. I do all seven tools every single day. And I do tons and tons of service. But those things did not keep me abstinent. They did not keep me abstinent. I kept falling off. I kept breaking my abstinence. And I kept getting into codependent relationships. It did not work for me in those two arenas. They didn't. It was until I did the steps as they're laid out in the big book and got a personal relationship with God and I won through surrendering to God and tapped into his power. And that's what Bill is telling us, that's all Bill had. And that's what this big book is all about. So if you want anything else other than a personal relationship with the God of your understanding, if that's what you think, I can't be any plainer at step one, because step two, step three, step four, step five, step six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, and 12. I'm going to be saying the same thing. It's different aspects, but it's basically the same thing. Step one is about getting a relationship with God, clinging to a God of your understanding, so you can put your addiction down, whatever it is, whatever it is. And step two and three and four, all the rest of them. This is the foundation step, that you have to admit that you have used a substance or a person or an experience. Like gambling is an experience. Shopping is an experience. Drugs is a substance. As Al-Anons, we've used a person. We have gone to those instead of God for solving our problems. We have used those for the power to cope in life. We have to admit that we have used them instead of a God of our understanding. That's what step one is. And we have to be willing to put it down and be willing to find a God. And there is no other answer. There is no other answer. There is no other easier, softer way. Except, if let's just say you're an alcoholic. You can put the alcohol down. And if you don't pick up God, you will pick up food. Or you'll pick up gambling. Or you'll pick up women or men. You'll pick up sex addiction. Or you'll pick up another addiction to fill the hole, the God hole. So, yeah, you can stop drinking and not pick up a personal and intimate relationship with God, but you'll fill it with some other addiction. And I know people who fill it with AA. They're addicted to AA. They do nothing but seven nights a week, AA. Well, you know what? It's certainly better than drinking seven nights, you know, three times a day, they do nothing but AA. That's their whole life. Well, you know what? It's certainly better than being a drunk on the streets. It's a step up, but it's certainly not what this big book promises. You know, I don't want to spend my whole day, every day, in an AA meeting. And for me, that's not a joyous and free life. It's not what I want. But, you know, so if you're expecting anything else out of this, then you're backing up the wrong tree. You're on the wrong study, because the big book is right here. And he's even saying he didn't like the idea of having God. But this is only page 12. We've got three more pages to go. And he's, by the end of this Bill story, he's saying he had a life second to none. He was the happiest he's ever been. And he found a personal and intimate relationship with God. So let me go on. But I have to tell you straight, and I will tell you over and over and over again. Every day you do your 15 minutes with the God of your understanding. It is the most important thing about you being in this Thursday night Big Book Step Study Workshop, is your 15 minutes with the God of your understanding. You do a prayer, you do a spiritual reading, you do writing, some sort of a Dear God letter, and then you do meditation. How you want to configure it for 15 minutes, if you want to do 20 minutes, you want to do 30 minutes, you want to do 40 minutes, that's fine. But you do a minimum of 15 minutes 7 days a week without exception to the best of your ability. Now, are you going to get kicked out if you don't? Of course not. But this is what it's all about. You can't have a personal and intimate relationship with God if you don't spend time with God. And the second requirement is that you go to a Big Book Step Study meeting, because you need to see what it is that you're going to end up being like. These people are recovered, and they're recovered because they have done the steps as they're laid out in the Big Book. They've made amends. They live in 10, 11, and 12, and they have a personal relationship with God. And you need to be rubbing elbows with them. You can go to the Sunday night phone meeting, or you can go to a local AA meeting. And I say AA because usually it's the AA that has Big Book meetings. There's some OA around, but I don't think there's many other groups that have it. Okay, so Bill says, I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens, however loving his sway may be. Okay, so he's telling us that in the beginning he was very prejudiced about the traditional Christian God that Abby was telling him about. Okay, so that's fine. A lot of you may be prejudiced against that too. That's perfectly okay. You can have any God of your own understanding, any God, as long as it's not you and as long as it's not the addiction, the substance, okay? Now, you're going to move on to something more spiritual, but, you know, you can start out with just about anything and grow. Okay. So Bill started out with creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature. I have since talked with scores of men and women who felt the same way, and probably a lot of you have too. I did in the beginning myself. My friend, Ebby, suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, and of course this is very important because it's in italics, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And this takes the fight away. This, nobody can fight with you. Well, fine. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? I think that's a great idea. So question number two for you to write on is, why don't you choose your own conception of God? So step two, we're going to do a lot more work on that, but why don't you start on it? So question two this week is, why don't you choose your own conception of God? It's a good place to start. That's where Abby brought Bill. And you're going to see that it really made a big difference in Bill's life. Okay. That statement hit me hard, Bill said. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. This, my sponsees, is now step two. Why don't you choose? So put on that paragraph and the ones that I just step to. Bill is telling us how he reached step two. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. You've heard the expression, you can never be too dumb for recovery, but you can be too smart. And that was what happened in the beginning with Bill. But it melted the icy intellectual mountain. Are you standing on an icy intellectual mountain when it comes to God? That's question three. And I will not be putting that on the web. This is just for people who are on the tonight. I want you to personally think about that question. Question three. Are you standing on an icy mountain of intellect about God? I'm hitting down deep in the core. Let's dig deep. When you think of God, do you get into your head or do you go into your heart? And if you get into your head, then think about you might be on an icy mountain, an icy intellectual mountain about God. When I talk about God, I'm in my heart, and I get all welled up with such gratitude that God loves me so much. With the past that I've had, where I've come from, the things that I did, and that I am forgiven and loved, and given the power to stay away from a drink, a drug, food, unhealthy relationships, and nurtured by God the way I am, is just, it blows my mind that God could love me so much. It just makes my heart just swell and makes me cry with I've never felt so loved in my life. There isn't a human being in the world that could love me the way God loves me. Nobody knows what a wreck I am. My song that I relate so much to is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, who saved a wreck like me. If anybody saw that movie, if you haven't, I really, really recommend it. It will bring such tears to you. And it's a lot about slavery and all of that. That part is, you know, it's all good. It's a good, but the part in it that really hit me is the guy that wrote that song. He was a slave trader. He really lived a terrible, terrible life. And he had a white lightning experience like Bill Wilson did. You know, I don't know whether he was an alcoholic or not, but he lived a bad life like I lived, you know, as an alcoholic and a food addict and a drug addict. And he had a white lightning experience. God gave him a second chance. And he woke up to what a terrible, terrible life he was living. And he tried to make it right. Just like we in 12-step recovery programs, you know, we hit a bottom and we enter a fellowship and we realize through the fourth step the wrongs that we did, and we make them right by the ninth step, and then we go on to help others. And it's just the most beautiful process when you think about it. But it's got to go from the head to the heart. And when it goes from the head to the heart, then you really can help others because you've really got the compassion and they feel it. When you're helping others, and it's like, and you know what a wretch you were, and you look at them and you see that they are living that wretched life that you lived, and you look at them with such love and compassion because that's what you were. There's a bond between you and them that counselors and doctors can never have. They can never have that. It's only between you and them that can happen. And it's only the grace of God. It's only but for the grace of God, that banner that hung at my first meeting, but for the grace of God. That is the most precious, precious slogan in my life, but for the grace of God. That's why I do this. That's why my life is devoted to helping others. Because it's only the grace of God that I'm not there anymore. And because I have that in my heart, I can help somebody that's down like that. They don't feel judged. They don't feel judged. And so I can hold out my hand to them and I can say, come into my fellowship. Because we're just like you. Yeah, we may have decent clothes on, but my past is your present. And that's what this is all about. But you've got to get out of that icy mountain of intellect and get into the heart of, but for the grace of God, so I. It's only because God gave me that window, that second, that nanosecond of like, oh my God, I am powerless. I'm going to die if I do this one more time. I got to get myself help. And that's what this is. That's what step two is all about. Well, step one is I can't do this anymore. And step two is this help. This help. And the help is first comes from that second, that nanosecond. Of like, I'm done. I'm really, really done. I am powerless over this stuff. And then that's God. Then you crawl into your fellowship. And you get help from your fellowship. But first it's but for the grace of God. It's the grace of God that gives you that awareness. And then comes your fellowship. So don't for one second think that God doesn't come first, because God comes first. God comes in that awareness and then the fellowship. And then hopefully your fellowship is really truly what it's supposed to be, a spiritual, and will guide you back to an intimate personal relationship with God. And that's what my job is. As your sponsor, as your big book sponsor, this is my job. And my job only is not to have you any way dependent on me, but to always turn you back to prayer and meditation and to back to this book. Read this book. Your answer's in the book. The answer's in prayer. The answer is inside you because God is inside you. I can tell you what the book told me. I can give you my experience, strength, and hope as your sponsor. I will give you the directions. I will help you to read the directions in the book because this book can be confusing. But in no way, shape, or form ever put me up as any authority. It's your personal God that is your authority. And the 12 steps, the principles of the 12 steps is your authority. And if you live the principles of the 12 steps. You will live a life of integrity and honesty, and you will be able to hold your head held high, and you will stay clean. And that's what this is all about. Okay, so next paragraph here. It was only a matter of being willing, circle that word, and underline, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. Nothing. So we have in the tradition, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. The only requirement for a relationship, an intimate and personal relationship with the God of your understanding, is the willingness to believe in that God of your understanding. Nothing more is required to make a beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Would you have it? Would you have it? I'm asking you as your sponsor. Will you be willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? You're standing right now at the turning point, right now at step one and two. Are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? Nothing more was required of you to make the beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. That's a promise. Upon this foundation of complete willingness, you might build what I saw in my friend, and that's Abby Thatcher. Would I have it? So date, put the date, 12/18/08. Yes or no? Yes. I am willing. I know I am not willing. You need to make a statement right now in your book. Yes, I am willing. No, I am not willing. And then Bill wrote, of course I would. So Bill made the decision that he would. Thus, I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough and put God above him. Bill, I'm going to tell you right now, Bill believed that God was a him. He believed in the Christian God. You may not believe in the Christian God. You don't have to. Bill did. You don't have to. So I suggest you put God above it. So when you're taking your sponsees through, you will mention that, because some sponsees are very sensitive to that. At long last, I felt scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. So Bill is telling us now From up to the top of the book, first paragraph, he said he didn't like the God idea. And now he's coming all the way down to he was convinced that God is concerned with him if he wanted God enough. At long last, he saw, he felt, he believed. And scales of pride, his ego. See, his ego eased God out. Finally, he deflated his ego enough to let God in. Prejudice fell from his eyes. A new world came into view. Instead of looking at the world as a half-empty glass, he was now looking at it as a half-full glass. Instead of being a negative world, he was willing to look at it as in a possible positive world. Amazing. Just amazing when you just open your mind to the possibility of a loving God. It's awesome. Changed my life. Okay. I want only questions about the what I've gone over. Any questions? Well, let me, I didn't write down the words. Okay. So the words are vestiges, prejudice, antipathy. So only those three words today. The writing assignment is in 12-Step Recovery Fellowship, we must surrender to him. What does this mean to you, and what has been your experience doing this, which is surrender or not surrendering? Okay, and the other question is write on why don't you choose your own conception of God? And for you, privately, the people who are on this, I want you to write on is your spirituality an icy intellectual mountain with God, or your conception of God an icy intellectual mountain, or is it in your heart?